Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This hour is brought to you by Lakeside Bank. Bank with power at Lakeside Bank. Lakeside Bank, it's about time.
That's beautiful, Nick. Good to have you here again. Nick Cave, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic.
The all-new Bernstein and Holmes Show. Middays 10 a.m. till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score. Dan Bernstein.
Here's the conclusion. The Astros are better at baseball than the White Sox. Period, paragraph, end of discussion. They're a better team. The Sox have to get that good. It's not about beating the Twins or the Guardians and outlasting everybody. Get that good.
Lawrence Holmes.
Is there a structure put in place that allows baseball teams to take a more direct method of asking guys to improve the way that football teams do? Are there loaves?
No applause, huh?
Because if you were handing out loaves for the White Sox this year,
bakery,
there would be a ton of them. You're right. The part is, how can you expect the guys to get better? What will you do to get them better at some of these little things?
Meanwhile,
to right field, Gavin Sheets watches it fly. Jazz McCormick takes one up and out. It's a three-run homer, and that's a 17 spot for the Houston Astros.
And this isn't even their A team. There's a bunch of B players out there. Chaz McCormick? Come on, that's like their version of Zach McKinstry.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk.
21-5 final score. Get rid of it.
Yeah, this one is done, and it's on to Cleveland.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I'll tell you, this is just a viewing tip. When you've gotten to Steve Stone's Italian beef rankings, things not going well for the old White Sox.
When the Astros got to 10 runs, Stoney said, he asked Jason, do you have any more camp stories?
Just stories from summer camp. And then he's like, let's do Italian beef rankings. Beef draft! I like Portillo's and Bona Beef and Al's.
A all big very bag of beef.
And then they did the switcheroo. He went on over to the Astros booth. Like, it was just, like, you know what?
I'm going
to
go check on him.
I got to go check on him. I got to go switch places with a World Series hero. So,
man,
yeah, it was going bad. I had a friend of mine who's a huge White Sox fan say, I think it was 6-0. And they were like, should I stop watching? I was like, no, let's see this inning out. And then I was 8-0. I was like, no, you can go ahead. And
I bailed.
You can go ahead and pop the chute on this one.
I bailed.
All right. I just saw him.
And Chaz Michael Michaels goes yard on you.
Man, it's a grand slam. I mean,
Chaz McCormick, that is so 80s, like, country club villainous kid, Billy Zabka character.
100%.
Right?
It's that guy that shows up. He's the guy that's keeping Thornton Mellon's son off the diving team.
Screw you, Mellon. Yep, that's Chaz McCormick there.
That's what it is.
Alex Bregman. Oh, my God. What are you doing?
Alex Bregman owns them.
Yeah, that's Aaron Rodgers.
He owns them. He is so in their head that they're like, I'll do my balk thing now. I'll just throw from the windup. That'll be my balk thing. I'll just let him steal third base. That's a terrible. After I saw it yesterday, I'm like, you know what? I've made up my mind. This is a terrible strategy.
All right. No more White Sox talk for an hour.
All right. Cool.
I'm done with that.
Yeah. Poor Josh Nelson of the Sax Machine. He's going to join us at 11. And he does this thing where he's on the Peloton until the White Sox score a run. He got a good workout. So, you know, we'll talk to him about that.
He weighs 40 pounds now.
Right. He's very small now. We are going to talk about the Bears, and there's other – Anthony Heron is going to be on the show a little bit later on, and we're looking forward to that. Going into the game last night, all I wanted to see was like the next step of offensive evolution where you had the competency thing down. Now can you move and do stuff off of it? And I thought they did. For their first drive, you saw some things that gave you some encouragement. You also saw some things. You saw the, I'm in danger.
Yeah, the play,
a lot.
The play calling of the plays they ran well still tells me Luke Getsy knows they can't block. And that's a good thing to know it, because Matt Nagy didn't. This is a step forward to know you're bad at something.
I'm not an idiot.
And you're going to have to call plays accordingly. If you can't block them, screen them. Roll them out. Waggle them. Boot them. There's going to be a lot of that.
Misdirection.
Yep. Then. You're going to have to do a lot. Here, what I see that, and that Seattle team sucks, and their pass rush sucks. Teams are going to rush four because it's all they're going to need, and everybody else is going to be in short and medium zones. And they're going to say, all right, kid, you've absorbed this new install, and you got everything down. Prove it. With these wide receivers, you find these small windows. Go ahead.
Or, because I was finding myself devising defenses last night. Like, I was scribbling stuff. I'm like, oh, I know what I would do if I were defensive coordinator against the Bears.
You're not going to misdirect me if I'm in zone. I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere.
You don't have to send extra to get to Justin Fields with this offensive line, comma, but if I want to speed him up, I kind of know what I'm going to do, and I'm going to mug a gap
right up the middle,
and then I'm going to send a gap and see what happens and see who can turn the blitz out, because it doesn't seem like they're going to be able to do that.
To the tune of turn this mother out.
Turn this blitz out.
What's as strong is going on, and I will. This is a bad football team. They've done some nice things in that I think they're coached.
Yes, I
really
agree
with
you.
I think they're coached. They're not good, but they're coached.
We're seeing so far, and it's only through two preseason games, and really we're talking about two quarters of football with the starters, quote unquote. I think that you can see they are a more buttoned up operation so far under Matt Eberflus than what we've seen the last previous regime.
With the exception of a missed challenge last night.
And we'll get into that. But I think that they're a more buttoned up overall operation. There's still a talent gap that's going to be difficult for them to overcome in games in 2022. What I do think is interesting is the reaction from Bears fans. When they hear it from us, they go, you know what? You guys are right. This team's going to be bad. When you and I take calls on it, guys, the Bears are going to suck, blah, 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 blah. But to hear it on the national broadcast last night, Bears fans were in their feelings big time on social media. Like, wait, you guys can't say that about our pledges? Only we can say that about our pledges. That's what was happening inside of my timeline. People getting mad at the national broadcast. And don't get me wrong, there's something specifically that I'm mad at the national broadcast for, which we're going to get to in a little bit. But Bears fans were waving the flag yesterday. They're like, we're not the worst team in the league. Look at these bums that we're beating. They're the worst team in the league.
We'll see. Little bounces of the prolate spheroid can make the difference between which is the worst team, the second worst team, the third worst team, and all of that. And there's sometimes you get a gift win here or there, and something bounces your way, or the other team's quarterback gets hurt. So I think debating who's the worst teams really misses the point. Both of those teams are bad.
Right. at least the Bears know who their quarterback is going to be. That's good. And it seems like what we've seen with Justin Fields and Luke Getsy is that those two dudes are on the same page. And he gets them. He connects with Fields. I was saying last night that it's amazing to me that it looks as if the 6 weeks that we've seen Justin Fields be coached by Luke Getsy, if you include like mini camps and then put in training camp, he looks like a better football player than the guy that we saw at the end of last season. Now, we'll see how that plays once we get to regular season and teams are game planning against him. And I do think that with the way that this offensive line is constructed, he's going to have some problems and he's going to have to overcome them. But I feel like I'm looking at a more in control and in command Justin Fields. And it's incredible what good coaching does. Or someone getting you, someone understanding what your strengths are, and then saying, let's build off of your strengths. That to me is coaching. It always frustrated me, and I promise that eventually we're going to not do the comparisons. But I just want to point it out to you so that when you're watching it, you see it the way that I see it. Nagy was so dogmatic about his system that everything had to be his system. And I'm sure Getsy has a system that he wants to put in place. But he's looking at the guy and he's saying, hey, this guy's all right. I can do some stuff. I can bend.
His system incorporates. Yes. It can be built out in another direction. I think I talked about this dynamic several weeks ago. The idea about paring down to build back. And anybody in a new situation, it happens to basketball coaches, anybody designing plays for any sport like that, it gets all excited. Oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And then by the end of training camp, you got three things you trust. Sometimes two. I know in basketball, so you got two plays. And so what you do is say, all right, this is what we can run. This is what we can block. This is where we know how to stand. Now, from here, here's where we go. And that's where the skill is. It is in being honest about paring down what you can't do and then planting that in the ground, allowing that to grow its own roots down and branches up and maintaining it.
What bothers me, Dan, is to me, that's such a great concept. It's an easy concept for a coach. I don't know why there are still coaches who fight that. The idea
because they chase magic. Because they chase, we're so close. I just got to get this one in. And it's always the next play. It's always
or the next player.
Yeah, it's always the flim-flam of, if I get Nick Foles, it'll all come together. If I get Andy Dalton, it'll all come together. Ooh, wait, I forgot about this. What about this play? Instead of saying, what can we do? Get everybody together. What do we do here? And let's figure it out. Their bread and butter is going to send a message to their early opponents. And divisional opponents right now are watching this. And without skill position players, and they are without skill position players.
Clearly.
It makes it very hard to just say, get that guy the ball. To get it all down the field and get it in the end zone is going to be a chore.
I can't say it enough. I mean, with the obvious lack of talent.
It is an obvious lack of talent.
Yeah, and that'll change over time, but not soon.
I keep thinking about Baltimore and them sitting there and with the 32nd pick and going, Lamar Jackson's out there. Can we? And I'm sitting there and like I imagine them in a room before they make this pick, going, guys, realistically, if we bring Lamar Jackson in here, can we build something with him? Yes, we can do. This is what I want to do. We can do this, 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 and this. All right, we have to fundamentally change who we are offensively. From Joe Flacco to this. Can we do that? Yes. Let's put all of our resources into that. And look at what you end up getting. You end up getting an MVP, a guy that's going to put you in position to be a Super Bowl team because of your willingness to bend. Like that is a special trait of a coach when they understand maybe it isn't the way that I drew it up on the dry erase board, but if we do our job and take the player and say, what is it that you need to be successful? How do you work?
That's the argument for making a special teams coach a head coach.
Agreed. And that guy was a special teams coach. Him understanding, this is what I got.
Yeah, give me guys who can run and who can change direction, and I'll figure out where to put them.
Right. This is what I have. Let's go play football now. Let's figure out the way to best execute winning the game. And it's like what Billy Ho said to Sidney Dean, where it felt like Matt Nagy wanted to look pretty instead of win games, and maybe it's ugly. Where so far, I get the feeling that with Eberflus, it is like whatever it takes. We'll do it. I do have a system, but I'm going to figure out some stuff beyond that, and I'm going to let my lieutenants do their job.
Well, we got our punt returner, I'll tell you that.
Valus.
Yeah, Valus, your punt returner, and you got to hold on to the damn ball.
Sure.
He had
a welcome to the NFL moment last night.
Yeah, you got to hold on to the ball. Is that they're going to, just like your teammates are trying to get it out during practice, the whole thing, that ball security is first and foremost before he can use those jets. But he's got those jets. That's real.
And wiggle.
That's real. That is, we got the punt returner. So he's got to stay healthy and do that. It does look like Cole Kmet is poised to fulfill some of his expectations. I'm not as high on him as others may be. I think he is a Y tight end. I think he is an inline tight end who's athletic for that position.
Right.
But he's not athletic compared to the U tight end position. He's not the move guy. He's not the Jimmy Graham wide receiver type. He's a Y because he's just not fast enough to be a U. He's strong. He's smart. I think he'll be fine. But I don't see star in there.
I'm with you. There's some Lego man in him where he's strong enough and he can, I love him kind of in some red zone situations where I think he can leverage some of the big strong aspects of a Y tight end versus a U tight end. I just don't think that it's enough athleticism overall that he's special. I think he can be good, and that's okay.
That's what I mean. I think he's good.
I think he can be good for Justin Fields, but I don't know if I see that next step for him as a tight end prospect. And so they have to probably go find that at some point as well.
I know you did have some issues with some presumptions that were made during the national broadcast that I think were just evidence of bad homework.
Terrible homework by the broadcast team, and surprising considering I really like Lou Riddick and Dan Orlovsky. And one thing that we've been talking about specifically on this show as it pertains to Roquan Smith was completely ignored in the discussion of Roquan Smith. We will discuss that with you as we keep talking Bears. It's a Bears Monday on a Friday. It's Bernstein and Holmes on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
I mean, Roquan's been around. I mean, I'm not really, I don't really know what's going on with Roquan, the whole situation. You know, I'm a little worried about me.
It's yours. That's Jack Sanborn, Bears roster hopeful. We gave him the Ken Mastrolli Award. Do we have an award to give out from last night? I don't think so. You can't give it to Velus Jones. He's too important.
Ray right. And I were saying the same thing.
Same conversation just now. Yeah. I just felt like nobody was deserving of the award yesterday.
You absolutely know. I don't know. I didn't feel it.
I didn't feel it either. Like, I was sitting there going, it's fine. It's fine. This week we didn't have one. We'll definitely have one in game 3.
Oh, yeah, because the starters aren't going to play at all.
Yeah, they're not going to play 1 minute of that game. And then we'll see where we're at with it. I did watch Hard Knocks yesterday afternoon, by the way.
I watched it again because Beth hadn't seen it. So in like the middle of the third quarter, I said, hey, you want to watch some pretend stuff instead of real stuff? And she's like, sure. Am I right about the Hutchinson family?
Yeah, that's enough.
Bye-bye.
That's enough of them.
Bye-bye.
Aiden's fine. Let's stay. Aiden seems to be a great kid.
I'm a hell of a player.
Enough of the mugging to try to get your own reality show, because it's clearly what you were trying to do there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's enough of that. I am still amazed by guys in the NFL that are close to 300 pounds that are ripped. Like, there's not an ounce of fat on Aiden Hutchinson at all. Like, you see those guys, you're like, how is that possible? But it's possible. So, yeah. And the way that, man, DeAndre Swift.
I feel terrible for him.
I feel terrible for him, but I will say, at least there was some coaching that was going on there.
Yeah, but a lot of that is just demeaning.
Yes.
There's some coaching, but I just kind of felt... By the way, does DeAndre Swift look a little like Tony Gill?
Yes, he
okay.
does.
Okay, that's because that was kind of... When he's sitting there and Deuce Staley's yelling at him and telling him to throw the stiff arm and all that, I got kind of a Tony Gill vibe from him.
The coaching point where he's saying, look, the play was there for you to go inside. Stop trying to bounce stuff outside.
I get that.
Significant coaching point. So I give them credit for stepping up their coaching, but I am fading the Lions. I'll talk with Joe about that when we talk with him.
You should fade the Lions, but man, Dan Campbell, I adore him.
It would be great if he were to succeed. I just don't think that he will.
He won't. He can't. He won't. They put grit on, like, the definition of grit on the wall, like the dictionary definition.
There's a lot of stuff. A lot of coaches are wearing acronyms. So, you know, this is where the NFL is at. Yeah. Right now. So you heard Jack Sanborn with us saying, look, I don't know where things stand with Roquan Smith. He's worried about himself, as he should be. Hopefully he ends up making a roster, and maybe he ends up making this roster. Roquan Smith is still in a contract negotiation, theoretically, with the Chicago Bears. And I am surprised when I was listening to the broadcast last night, and I personally like the commentary that Riddick has given, whether he's a guest or on the in the Monday night booth. I like Orlovsky a lot, and I think on NFL Live, he does a great job. He's done really excellent breakdowns of Justin Fields. Even up to earlier this week, we played something by him breaking down last week's game. They seemed out of touch and uninformed when they had their conversation about Roquan.
Can you expand on the fact of how maybe he views the linebacker position? Remember, he also said this. If this was a pass rusher, if this was a quarterback, if this was a corner, it's a little bit easy.
Yeah.
I mean, so what that tells you is, you're right. When you're looking at the positions 1 through 22 on a football team, maybe that stack linebacker position for him is down a little bit lower than what maybe Roquan Smith was hoping that it would be. But what makes it even more interesting is Matt Eberflus just came from a place where he had Shaq Leonard on his football team, who's one of the highest paid linebackers in the NFL. But these guys say the number one thing as to why they came together is because they share a common vision for how to build a football team. It's very interesting. It has a lot of different layers to it.
Can I ask you this, though? I understand organization. You may not value inside linebacker a certain way. Doesn't that change when he's a top five guy at the position, though? Doesn't the value of that player matter?
When he's absolutely right. I look at it like this. Remember, we talked to Jordan Brooks about this for Seattle when we talked to him. Inside linebackers, signal callers, playmakers, three down guys who stand in front of the defense and talk to them the way a guy like Roquan Smith, that's like the quarterback of your defense. That's like the heart and soul of your defense. I think those players have systematically risen in terms of the hierarchy of importance on a roster because of the fact that the way the game has changed. And Roquan can do everything. He's a three down player who can do everything. I would value them much higher than maybe they have in the past.
Okay.
But clearly, it seems like there may be some disagreement with that.
That's courtesy of ESPN Monday Night Football, even though it was on a Thursday night. Here's the thing. Matt Eberflus has said that Roquan is his will linebacker. And for some reason, whether it's listeners here, people on Twitter, it hasn't registered. The will linebacker in Matt Eberflus's system is a premium position. That's why Shaq Leonard got almost $100 million and why Roquan is looking to get $100 million. He's not looking to get $100 million to be a middle linebacker. And in a 3-4, him being a middle linebacker is a different thing than what it would be in a 4-3. Let me explain it further. When we break down the hierarchy of what a cover 2 Tampa 2 defense looks like, usually the hierarchy is 3 technique and then will linebacker. I would say now that it's the nickelback has gotten to be that. With the Bears 2, which is different than the old school Tampa 2.
The Bears 2 had maybe the best zone coverage middle linebacker who's ever walked the face of the earth.
Correct. Brian Urlacher is a unicorn. And because he's a unicorn, you can't use him to devise a defense. You can't say, well, I'm going to have a middle linebacker that's going to be able to drop 25 yards and cover the middle third of the field. That player doesn't exist. He's already in the Hall of Fame because of how special of a talent that he was. But you can look at a player like Roquan and go, ooh, I like that combination of speed and ferocity and attacking the ball, and go Derek Brooks, Lance Briggs, Roquan Smith. The will linebacker spot is the star spot in this defense that Matt Eberflus wants to run, which is why he said that Roquan's going to play that position. So for the national broadcast to not know that that's the case is bothersome to me. Thank God Greg Gabriel tweeted it out last night, because he was ripping that broadcast yesterday. And he tweeted it out, and this is someone that was in charge of finding players to fit into a Bears 2 system.
Let's hear Matt Eberflus in his own words. This is via Colts.com talking about what that position is and does in his defense.
Right over here we have base defense. Okay, base defense is really what we have is three linebackers. We call this guy the Will. the Mike, and the Sam, okay? We have a left end, a tackle, a nose, and another end. And we're basically in a shell defense here. And what the important thing is that our Will linebacker is the guy that's our most athletic player. So we put him always behind the three technique, and that's why he's there, okay? And the Sam is usually our heavier guy. He likes to hit, okay? And he's in the bubble here, so we put him there, okay? And he'll do a lot of things, turning the ball back and those types of things. And then the Mike right here, he's a guy that's a pretty smart player, okay? Does a good job in the middle of the field, takes good angles inside out, and he's always basically off of number three or dropping into the middle of the field.
The most athletic player on the defense.
What the important thing is that our Will linebacker is the guy that's our most athletic player.
And you stack him behind your three technique.
Because that's the disruptive part of the level in front of him.
It's the reason that the Bears wanted Larry Ogunjobi. That they were hoping that he would be their three technique. And then you have something going with him and Roquan stacked behind him. Just because Roquan was a signal caller and a middle linebacker in a 3-4 doesn't mean that is the best position for him to play in a 4-3 cover 2.
Ogunjobi.
The best position for him to play is the Will linebacker spot, which is why he is comparing himself contractually to Shaq Leonard. Now, the difference between those two guys, as I see it, Shaq Leonard, formerly Darius Leonard, if you haven't caught up to the fact that he's changed his name.
It took me a little bit.
It takes people a while. I get it. Shaq Leonard takes the ball away at a higher rate than Roquan Smith. But if Roquan Smith were playing in this system like Shaq Leonard was, I think those numbers would be closer than what they are.
The opportunity, if you watch the way a properly run one gap, whatever you want to call this, I call it Tampa 2 because I default to that, but a 4-3 one gap defense properly run gives the Will linebacker a chance to get up ahead of steam before impact, where the movement of the play, if everything is run properly, they use the term funnels toward. If gap integrity is there, it's the Will that can often deliver the big hit. Sometimes to the side of a ball carrier, sometimes on a quick shot over the middle to a receiver once that football move is made. There are more opportunities to force fumbles, to recover fumbles, to be disruptive on the ball for Roquan Smith here than the opportunities he's previously had.
Correct. So the comps for him, don't look at the comps for him being Urlacher and Ray Lewis, because that's, first of all, that's stupid anyway.
Unfair.
The comps for him are Shaq Leonard, Lance Briggs, Derek Brooks. That's how you look at Roquan Smith.
Maybe they don't think he's that good, but they want him to be.
Right. That he at least has the raw materials there to function that way in this defense. So I was a little surprised because Orlovsky played, 12 years in the league? And he played during the era. That's what I was saying to Greg. I was like, it's almost like people nationally have forgotten what the Bears did with Tampa 2. It's not like this defense went away. Every defense in the world plays a version of cover 2. And the Bears didn't play cover 2 all the time. They mixed in looks throughout Lovie's tenure. But when you're trying to figure out what Roquan is, Roquan is a Will linebacker in a cover 2 defense. There. That's how he's valuing and judging himself. The financial and football comp for him is Shaq Leonard. Not Bill George. You know what I'm saying? It's
Dick Butka.
Right. It's not that. It's not Lawrence Taylor, because that's a different type of linebacker, too. It's not Ray Lewis. It's not Brian Urlacher. It's Derek Brooks, Lance Briggs, and Shaq Leonard.
Something else I want to get to before we break was a breakdown that the Bears had in their process yesterday. Isaiah Coulter made a catch, a nice sliding catch. And it was called incomplete. It was a catch. And Coulter didn't jump up and down and point and respond and do what I think they should be coached to do in those situations when you know you've made a play.
He wasn't demonstrative.
He's got to be. You got to coach guys to be that way. I don't know why they didn't challenge. I don't know what was going on with the communication. Here's Matt Eberflus explaining.
So on that one, that's a good question because we... You know, a couple of coaches on the sideline thought it bounced on the ground. We got one good look upstairs, and that was it. You know, so we didn't have a second look at it, so we just decided just to let it go. You know, in real time, in a real game, maybe I would have thrown it in there, but we didn't have a second look.
Okay, well, what about in general the in-game communication, the headset communication?
It's about having calm and clear communication on the headset, and I think when you have that, and it's got to be effective communication. So who's talking to who and when? And we've had that the first two games. And I think the operation of that's been really good. Communication from everything, from what unit's going on in the field, if we're going to go for it, what situations are coming up. We're always staying to play ahead. So that's been really good.
Okay. If we at home saw it, you have to see it. Don't say, I'm not going to buy, well, we only had one look at it. This is when you get to practice stuff like this. We all saw it. You had plenty of time. And you know what else you can do if you're not sure? Call a timeout.
Well, they did take that delay.
But once that delay is taken, it's over, right? That's it. You can't take a delay to give you more. That's over. That's the next play. That ends it. But call a timeout. If you need to call a timeout to be sure on something like that, it depends. Just get work it out. Work the bugs out of this. If we can see it, you can see it.
I actually think that there would have been value to doing it regardless because it's a preseason game. You know, like, sure. We're not sure, but maybe the player is. We didn't get a perfect look at it, but it's a preseason game. Let's see what happens here. What's the worst that can happen? That would have been valuable enough for me to throw the challenge flag in that moment. And you probably should have.
When we come back, let's talk about the miscarriage of justice and the sad spectacle of that Deshaun Watson press conference and Jimmy and Dee Haslam speaking. There are people who are just too rich to have to care. That's next on The Score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
I don't think we had any way of knowing. I don't think anybody knew how many games Deshaun might miss. I mean, we didn't know until definitively till today, okay? I think it's important to remember Deshaun is 26 years old, okay? And is a high-level NFL quarterback, and we're planning on being our quarterback for a long time.
That is walking rectum Jimmy Haslam. What a piece of crap. This whole thing, and it's just as powerless as anybody feels here. How about these victims? The 30 or so women, however many, whatever number you want to put on this.
Up to 60.
Up to 60. The Haslams don't care. The Browns don't care. The NFL doesn't care. And certainly Deshaun Watson does not care. If there was anything involved in this negotiated settlement that involved him understanding any wrongdoing, being aware of the slightest bit of transgression, of wrongdoing, this ain't it. And I don't know what Roger Goodell wants to revisit or doesn't want to revisit. He doesn't think he's done anything wrong.
I think that's why they put in there that he's not going to be allowed back onto the field. until a third party comes in and says he's gone through treatment. This is the one place where I'll defend the NFL on this. I do think the NFL, and Goodell especially, didn't like how any of this went down. Doesn't like that there isn't a show of contrition from Deshaun Watson or an admittance of guilt. Okay? Like he hasn't done that. And the idea of them being so shady with the contract and kind of skirting the law here of this guy has to lose some money for this. That's why the $5 million fine is significant to me. Them getting more games is significant. And the most significant thing is you have to go into treatment. And when the judge even said, we're not going to allow you to find massage therapists on your own, that is a red flag.
No one is debating the facts of this.
He is. Watson is.
Not really.
He is.
He just doesn't think it's wrong.
He doesn't think it's wrong, and that's him debating the facts of this. You did this. And him, you know what? Instead of us talking about it, let's let you hear from Deshaun Watson yesterday.
Hey, Deshaun, why did you wait so long to apologize for what you did?
I apologized beforehand. I think the second time I spoke to you guys, I actually apologized. But I think for some people, it didn't maybe register as I was apologizing. But, you know, I just wanted to clarify, you know, I was apologizing to all women and people that was affected about this situation because it's, you know, it's definitely a tough situation.
Deshaun, how did you go from I've done nothing wrong, I've never disrespected any woman, to settling so many of these lawsuits and now agreeing to this discipline?
I've always stood on my innocence and always said that I've never assaulted anyone or disrespected anyone, and I'm continuing to stand on that. But at the same time, I have to continue to push forward with my life and my career. And for us to be able to move forward, you know, I have to be able to take steps and put pride to the side. And I'm going to continue to stand on my innocence and keep pushing forward. And I've always, you know, stood on not disrespecting or sexual assaulting anyone.
What are you apologizing for?
For everyone that was affected about this situation. There was a lot of people that was triggered.
But not the women that accused you of this?
I've apologized to all women. So anybody that was affected, even yourself. Everything. So I'm apologizing to everyone that was affected about this whole situation.
I have a lot of problems with this.
God.
And it speaks to something that is bigger.
It's just awful.
In our society. It's the idea of apologizing without being sorry. And not taking accountability in your apology. It's what he just did there was the BS. I'm sorry if you were offended. The non-apology apology. Instead of, I messed up. I'm sorry.
I did wrong.
I did wrong, and I'm going to try to not do wrong going forward.
Like Michael Vick did.
Correct.
Who actually committed a crime, served time,
and understands what he did.
There are so many examples of people who have done it right. The other shining example of this, do you remember Tim Hardaway?
Yes.
Jim, that whole thing that he did, like, I hate gay people.
Yes.
And he didn't say, oh, well, whatever. I'm sorry if I offended anybody. That dude put in the time and effort to become a better person.
And an ally now. Like, he's been using his story to help. I talked with him in these hallways a couple years ago.
Like, but that's not it. The fact that the Browns could stand there and the husband and wife that own the team, well, he's 26, he deserves a second chance, and it's awful.
It's so gross.
It's absolutely awful. And what Tony Busby said, the lawyer that represented so many of these victims, I thought he said it well, and I thought that there have been some wonderful columns written just about how taken advantage of so many people have been by the power of the NFL and by an ownership that just doesn't care. I thought Michael Rosenberg of Sports Illustrated did a tremendous job, and Sally Jenkins of the Washington Post. I mean, really, if you subscribe to the Washington Post and you can read what she wrote, she's always brilliant. But when she, the key graph from her column, these men are too rich to care, and there is no NFL punishment they can't easily absorb, and no reputational damage the league won't help them cure. with stage-managed proceedings to quiet the credulous and inferior rest of us.
There's always this jump to the redemption part, and I'm okay with that. I'm genuinely all right with people trying to redeem themselves. But that doesn't, you don't get the privilege of redemption if you don't acknowledge what you did wrong and then work to try to make it right. In this case, it's making it right by understanding what you did and trying to change who you are, change your behavior. Which is why I'm glad the NFL fought for, hey, you've got to be in treatment. That they are looking at this
as... It's going to fail. The whole point of treatment is being a willing participant by understanding what you need. He's going to doodle and eye-roll his way throughout all of this. I'm telling you right now, it's a waste. Any of what they're saying about... unless there is an earnest effort at treatment, and if this is the most cynical... put on. This entire thing was a whitewash, an absolute put on for them to get to football and for him to get to that Texans game and the ridiculous redemption narrative it's going to be spun. There's no treatment that's going to work for a second for anybody who doesn't think he needs anything and doesn't think he's done anything wrong. It's just something he's going to try to get through.
I agree, but the league at least said, we can't, like, this is, we're bad, but we can't just let you loose on society or people inside of our building, knowing what we know, knowing what the judge said. The judge said you did this. The punishment was light, and it was light partially because of the precedent of punishments in the NFL. But the judge said you did this. Now it's a matter of, are you going to acknowledge that you did this? And are you going to try to be better? And what we've seen so far, and the point that Sally Jenkins is making, is the NFL owners have allowed for stuff like this. And I think that you can do both. And for some reason, well, they don't have to, is the reason. You can say, hey, we still believe that Deshaun Watson is redeemable, but he's going to have to do the work. And that's what it comes down to with anyone who does something wrong. You shouldn't get the just blanketed redemption and forgiveness if you are so dug in on the fact that you didn't do anything wrong.
That whole idea of second chance. Do you know how many multiple chances with the number of women that he assaulted?
Right.
You know how many chances this guy's gotten? Don't spin me anything about a second chance. It's insane.
Well, and then you go back to Judge Roberts' ruling on this, and you see that he doesn't have an active knowledge of what assault is, and that he doesn't understand, it seemed like she didn't understand, that sexual assault is violence. That those moments when those women are afraid and coerced, those moments when those women feel threatened for their business, all of that is violence that has been used to propagate this stuff for forever.
This segment has been brought to you by Chicagoland's neighborhood bank, Marquette Bank. Love where you bank. Well, we succeeded in not talking White Sox for about an hour. And Josh Nelson of Sox Machine is going to join us next. It's a pretty special thing to be able to do what the White Sox did. I'm going to send you out here with a note from my group chat yesterday with all of my childhood White Sox fans. This is your lead. It's a rare gift to be able to turn a series split with one of the top three teams in the league into a spirit-sucking hell. But the 2022 Sox have it. Indeed. Josh Nelson next on The Score.
This wasn't a good day for the White Sox.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.